Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. We're going to start reading at verse number 19. Ask you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. A scripture that you have been very familiar with and have heard many times. I just want to share some simple thoughts God's laid on our heart that you may think about the day. And I felt compelled this morning to share this and pray that God use it in your heart. And those that are unsaved, God really speak to. Those of us who are saved may be more concerned. I was mentioning Wednesday night about our concern for the lost, and I'm concerned about myself, and that's for your prayers, and still need those. But listen to what God says. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And I pause there to say this, is not a parable. A name is used here, Lazarus. In no parable did he ever use a personal name. It's an actual happening. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege we've had to be in the house of God. I thank you for the singing of the choir and the testimonies that have been given. And Father, what a joy it is to join in congregation singing and the fellowship we've enjoyed here today. And I thank you for your presence. And I thank you, Lord, for that you spoke to people's hearts and stirred their lives about being saved. And surely, Lord, it's a joy to be saved and born in the family of God. I join with them and say thank you for loving us and saving us. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have today to be here, open the Word of God and share. I need you now, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would so illuminate our minds and help us to think and be able to say what you want said. And I pray the Holy Ghost take that Word of God and speak to hearts. People here today without Christ that need to get saved. Lord, this place we read about called hell is a real place, and I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, make it real. And I pray that your Spirit would so draw them and open their eyes of understanding that they'll see and realize that Jesus paid it all for them so they may be saved. And today, Father, speak to our hearts, stir our lives, and I pray you rebuke the devil, and I plead the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And amen, you may be seated. I just want to share today some great truths about hell. Some great truths about hell. I just want to break it into two parts and talk about some things that is refuted, some false doctrine, dangerous doctrine that is refuted by this story that Jesus tells. And he gives us here in the Word of God a message that he gave. And by the way, this is a message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his message. And he gave it to us. And let me echo what Brother Blake said. And Brother Taylor, I think, mentioned this, or somebody did a while ago, that God is true to his word. God, what he says in his word, he's always true to his word. He never lies to us. He never leads us astray by his word. He always gives us truths that you can rest on and that you can know is sure and that you can rest that it's right what he says. Now here he's telling us about hell. And today I realize the fact that this is not a popular subject, and neither am I excited about talking about hell except for one reason, that it may keep somebody from going there. And that Jesus Christ has told us to preach it. He said, preach the whole counsel of God. And so if we do that, then we must preach hell. We must tell about hell, and hell is a real place. And I pray that God would help us today as we just try to share a few thoughts. And I want God to make it real to your heart and to your mind. As you think about this today, we sometimes talk about hell like it's going to the hospital. Like it's going somewhere that we just don't want to go, going to a dentist and have your teeth worked on. I don't like that. We kind of mention hell in the same kind of a frame of mind, but hell is an awful place. Hell is a real place. Hell is not just something that you dread for a little bit. Hell is something that we ought to take serious, and that we ought to give very serious thought to it and be concerned about those who are going there. And if you're going there, may God help you today to realize you don't have to go. Well, let me tell you some truths here that God's word and this message that Jesus gave refutes some dangerous doctrine. Number one, it refutes the fact of annihilation. And some people say that it's just annihilation. Go to hell and it burns up and that's it. There is no such thing as annihilation. Even scientists tell you that. Ain't no such thing as annihilation. Some particle, something going to live on somewhere or be somewhere, whatever that case may be. But matter is, and annihilation is not true. And going to hell, this message refutes that. If going to hell was just burning up and that was it and be annihilated, then no more consciousness, no more anything, that'd be one thing. But that's not the way that it is. And so we need to think seriously about that today. It's not annihilation, and so we need to understand that. This refutes it. Jesus himself refutes that. It's not soul sleep either. And there are many that believe that in a soul sleep, that when you die, it's just a matter of sleeping in the grave and all that. Well, that's not so. It's just not so. Here in this text that I read, the rich man died and in hell lifted up his eyes. And so that's not soul sleep. And Lazarus is carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. That's not soul sleep. That's consciousness. And being conscious is the fact that you're aware of what your surroundings are. And when you're asleep, you're not really conscious of the surroundings around you unless you wake up. And so as sleep here, soul sleep is not a thing of the Bible. The Bible knows absolutely nothing about soul sleep. We are conscious either here or there. And we'll talk about being in heaven a little bit later, but I'm telling you right now that there is no such thing as soul sleep. May God help us realize that truth and that reality. It also deals away with this thing of praying to the saints. Have you ever noticed in this? Look at it with me. In verse 24, and he cried and said, now here, this rich man's in hell. And here he cries and says to Abraham, he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's simply saying, Abraham, help me. I need some help. And so he's crying out to one of the patriarchs of the Old Testament and crying there, but he gets no help. You know why? Can't any other saint help you either, amen. And praying, by the way, saint is anybody and everybody that has been saved. If you're saved, you're a saint. You say, well, preacher, you don't look like a saint. What's a saint supposed to look like? And preacher, you don't act like, what's a saint supposed to act like? And we got this idea of being a saint is somebody living a perfect life and everything's just right and all that kind of stuff. That's not so. A saint is anybody that's been born in the family of God, saved by the grace of God. I'm glad today to be numbered among that crowd. But you need to pray to me or anybody else that's gone on into heaven. You need to pray to them. St. Peter can't help you. St. Anybody, Bartholomew, anybody else cannot help you. And I remember visiting a hospital in Pennsylvania. And in that hospital, they had statues to St. Peter and statues to St. somebody else and somebody else. And there was people that were bowing at the foot of that statue and praying to them and asking Peter or somebody to help them or their loved one that was sick. And I wanted to cry out and say, that's an idol. You're wasting your breath. They can't hear you and they can't help you. Amen. That's true. Virgin Mary can't help you. And fact is, she had to get saved just like everybody else had to get saved. And Luke 1 says she called God her Savior. She got saved. I say hallelujah, she did. Amen. Aren't you glad she did? I'm glad she's saved. And she's remembered highly among women because God chose her to bear the Son. But she's not to be worshipped. And she certainly cannot help you as you pray. And so I'm just telling you some negative things here. People believe and depend on and try to help them. And here this morning I'm trying to tell you these things are dangerous doctrines that this message that Jesus gave, he refutes that. And so he said Abraham couldn't help. And it also refutes the fact of an intermediate place, a place where you go that purgatory is called by some, and some others call it other names, some religion. But there's no such thing as going somewhere that's an intermediate place, some place where you wait, a place where you may be punished for a little while, and when you're paid enough, you get out. Now that sounds good, but just not so. Then there's some teaching that you go to a place and you wait there, and if somebody's praying for you on earth or paying the priest to pray for you, or doing enough penance and doing all those kind of things, it'll help you and it'll eventually get you out of there and you can go on into heaven. That sounds good too, but it's just not so. This refutes that. Ain't no such thing. The Bible refutes that. And hell will be cast in the lake of fire. And the Bible says that's forever and forever. You never get out. You never get out. If I read the Bible right, and I believe I'm reading it right, in Revelation there where it talks about and where the devil is cast in the lake of fire and where the beast and the false prophet are, they've already at that time been there for 1,000 years. And then Satan's cast in there, and the Bible says where this punishment is forever, day and night. There is no comfort, there's no ease, there's no relief, day nor night. Forever and forever, if God's word is true, and I believe it is, and this word is true, God cannot lie, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, and that's probably before the world began, that's that verse, he cannot lie, his word is true, he's good as his word says it's forever and forever. And so this thing of an intermediate place and getting out of it someday, somehow, some way is not so. I'm trying to tell you the truth today. This is not so. Ain't no such place, and people that go to hell don't get out except when they get out at the judgment, a great white throne judgment. And then it's not to get saved. They cannot repent. They cannot get saved. Their doom is already sealed, but they will bow on their knee. And they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. and then be cast into the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. What a sad thought that is. And you think about that with me for a few moments. I was talking to somebody recently, and I was sharing, and they were sharing with me, and I'm not going into detail of that because of being broadcast out, but the person here knows who I'm talking about. But they were so concerned about their loved one, and the thing that worried them the most was the fact whether they were saved or not and going to go to heaven or not. But I'm glad, praise God, they had the privilege to talk to them about Jesus, about being saved, about getting born in the family of God and coming to know Christ Jesus. Did you know that that's better hope than all the world put together? I don't care what you've accomplished. It doesn't make it. That man was rich. It didn't make anything about all of his riches. It didn't help him a bit. But people going to hell, anybody going to hell, that's the saddest thing I can think of this side of eternity, is somebody being lost and going to hell without God. And oh, praise God for the reality of hearing about those getting saved and born in the family of God and going to miss hell and go to heaven. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad that's the truth, that's the reality? Aren't you glad today that people get saved and miss hell? And I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm thankful for that truth. I deserve to go to hell. I ought to go to hell. But the grace of God and the mercy of God keeps me out of hell. And God does not give me what I deserve. That's grace. Hallelujah. Mercy doesn't give me what I deserve. But grace gives me what I don't deserve. Takes me to heaven. And I say hallelujah. For the reality, if you and I got what we deserve, we'd be burning right now in hell. You think about that. You say, preacher, I don't like to think about that, but you think about that. You'd be crying in a lake of fire and screaming for mercy and cannot get it. If you go to hell, that's what it is. And so this refutes all of that. It refutes the fact, somebody said, that everybody in the end will be saved. And some just been better than others, and so they're going to all get to heaven someday. Jesus paid the price for all. Now let me say this and insert this. Jesus did pay the price for all. There's no question about that. But it is not appropriated where somebody will not repent and believe. If they do not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus did at Calvary is not appropriated unto them, and they're lost without God. God made it possible for you to be saved. But it's up to you what you do with Jesus, whether you get saved or not. He's already paid the price. He already made it right. So you could be, but not everybody's going to be. And the Bible makes that plain, and Jesus made it plain. The rich man was not saved. Lazarus was. And one went to heaven, as it were, and one went to hell. I'll say more about paradise in just a moment, but here we find this one in hell screaming and crying, wanting some help. And asking Abraham, send Lazarus, just get one drop of water. I have a cup of water here. And I can stick my finger in there and get one drop of water. That's all that rich man was asking for. He didn't even ask for a cup of water. He wasn't asking for a thimble full of water. He said, if he just get one drop and just touch my tongue with it and just give me that little bit of relief for just a moment of relief. I want that. He wasn't asking for much, was he? He wasn't asking for hardly anything except one drop of water, because he's in such misery, he's in such a shape, and he knew he was going to be there. But if he could only get a little bit of ease, he cried out for help, and Abraham couldn't help him. And Lazarus couldn't help him. He's crying for help. Everybody's not going to be saved. There are some says there's no hell. Jesus said there is a hell. If Jesus said there is a hell, there is a hell. I read an article some years ago from a prominent evangelist, had been in years gone by, and he made a statement in that article, and I read it with my own two eyes, that he didn't believe there was a literal burning hell. And I wanted to cry out, why did you preach the book and say there's no hell? How can you preach the word of God and say there is not a hell? If there is no hell, the Lord's lying to us. I said a while ago, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. And if God cannot lie, then hell is a real place. And hell is a burning literal fire. And there the rich man was, and anybody try to tell him there's no hell, he'd cry out right now and say, they're lying to you, they're lying to you. Don't believe that, because there is a hell. There is a, ain't not a person in hell today that would not cry out if he could come in this service right here, right now, stand before you. He'd cry and say, there is a hell. There is a hell, there is a hell. He wanted, he knew there was a hell. And so don't believe that lie, there is no hell. Then some people preach there is a second chance. That kind of overlaps with an immediate place, but there is no second chance. There's not again life that you can live and make a choice in that life or at the great white throne judgment or anywhere else that you'll ever have a second chance to be saved. It's either in this life or it's not at all. This time that God gives us now, what a privilege we have to sit in the house of God this morning and hear about hell. You say, preacher, that is a privilege. I would the world today could hear this and know there is a hell. And you that are sitting here today lost without God, there is a hell. There is a place of burning torment, and everybody that's unsaved goes there. And I would today that somehow I could try to paint you a picture of my words and talk about the awfulness of burning. You ever been in a fire? You ever been burnt by fire? You ever got on fire? Had clothes got on fire? Have you ever anywhere seen somebody that was really burnt bad? Have you ever heard anybody really scream with burns? I have seen that. I have heard that cry. I've been on one end of a hospital and heard the cry of a man that had been burned in a house, and he later died, but he burned in a house not too far from where I lived. And even when I went by his room, I could not talk with him for the agony and the pain and the cry and the screams and the blackened walls where they tried to change sheets and his flesh would fall, and he finally died in that condition. But I'm telling you, it's no pleasant thought. It's no pleasant cry to your ears to hear somebody screaming and crying in pain and burning and wanting some relief and crying for help. And that's just a little taste of what hell's like. Hell's much worse than that. He was not in the flame right then. He was not burning in the flame right then. They got him out of the house, but oh, I cried and screamed and cried and screamed and cried. I'm telling you, hell is a real place. There's no second chance, and there's no time to get saved. It's simply an eternal destination that you're in and cannot get out of, and are suffering and crying. And you think that man there, and I never did find out about his salvation, but whether he saved or lost, I don't know. Whether he went to hell or not, I do not know. But if he went to hell, he continued on in burning, but it got worse. If he went to heaven, thank God, he got relief. But you can think about somebody being real sick or burnt bad. If they're saved, there's relief on the way. There's some help on the way. But in hell, there's no help on the way. Ain't nothing at all that can help them. And so I'm trying to tell you today, there's no help in hell. But let me give you another thought here about hell. And here's this message that Jesus gave, and he refutes all that false stuff that's taught today, but he ratifies some other truths and some sound doctrine, some good doctrine. And I'm glad he is. The soul is immortal. You're not going to just pass away. Now, we said a while ago, as you just don't annihilate, but God breathed in the nostril of man became a living soul. And that soul's going to be somewhere forever and forever. God's breath is forever and forever. He breathed in the nostril of man. A breath of life. Man became a living soul. And you are a living soul. And it's not a matter that you're just a flesh and blood. It's not a matter that you're just made out of dirt. What dirt's made out of, that's what your body's made of, same thing. And it's not a matter of that. You're a living soul. I'm preaching here this morning, and I'm trying my best to get it across to you that you are forever being, and you'll never cease to exist, and that you will live on somewhere. And the Bible teaches that. And I'm glad that God told us about that. This life is not all there is to it. I don't care how long you live in this life, it will soon be over. It'll not last very long. And we come in the world and I see a baby that Teresa's holding there. And we see a baby coming into birth and we think, my, that's young and they got so much ahead of them. And not really, because life comes and goes so quickly. And us that are older can look back on it and tell you real quickly that life passes by as a flash, as it were. It appeared for a little time, then vanished away. It's steam coming like a steam coming out of a kettle. It appears for a little time, then it's gone. But boy, this life is so important, what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so immortal. But let me say something else about this life. And he said to him, son, remember. Look at verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember. And so he could remember. And man's destiny is either hell or heaven. Every person I'm preaching to here this morning is either going to heaven or hell. Ain't no such thing as anything in between. So you're going one place or the other. And here, as the Lazarus went to paradise, and let me just plug this in for sake of everybody understanding. Paradise at that time was in the center of the earth. And hell was in the center of the earth, the great gulf fixed between the two. And in the Old Testament, people were gathered through their own people. They did not go straight to heaven because Jesus had not yet died. Had not yet paid the price. They were looking forward to it. And they looked forward to the cross. And they knew a Savior would come and believed that. And believed God and got saved. And they waited in paradise. And the Bible says Jesus went and preached to the saints in prison. He preached to those in paradise. And he told that thief on the cross that repented. And that was the last few hours of repentance. And he repented and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He said, we're going to paradise. And they did go into paradise. And Jesus was there in the heart of the earth and preached unto those that look for his coming. And I believe he said, here I am. I have died. I paid the price. The blood has been shed. And your price has been paid in full. No more lambs are needed. And now we're going to empty out of here. I'm going to raise in 3 days and go back. And then I'm going to send to my Father and take you with me. And he emptied out paradise. Paradise is now in the third heaven where God's throne is. How you know, preacher? Because Paul got caught up into paradise. And he said, I got caught up in the third heaven. And so paradise now. And the Bible also says hell hath enlarged herself. And so hell taking over the part that was paradise. And hell now is burning in all of it. People going to hell by the thousands every day. People perish and go to hell. Hey, listen, but I want you to know if we could hear the screams and cry coming out of hell, it'd be awful. But, oh, thank God. Think about that one that steps out of this life and wakes in glory. Hallelujah. I mean, leaves all the pain behind. Leaves all the sorrow behind. I can see some of y'all this morning. I look over this congregation, see your faces, and I know you're thinking about that loved one that left out of here. But thank God they're in a better place. Saved in a better place. Glory to God. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no soul sleep in that. And to be present with God. Hallelujah. Praise God for the Lamb forever. Amen. But oh, listen. Wake in hell. Every person in this house this morning, if you died right now, you'd either wake in heaven or you'd wake in hell, one or the other. I'm glad I'd wake in heaven. Hallelujah. But where would you wake? Good question, isn't it? Hell's a place you can miss. I'm glad for that. This life is the only life that you'll have to make preparation to miss it. But I'm glad Jesus made a way for you to miss it. I said a while ago, the price has been paid. He tasted death for every man. It's a penalty for sin, death, separation from God. He cried on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took my separation. He paid that price. And for you, he paid that price. And for me, he paid that price. And today, friend, are you listening? I'm telling you that Jesus paid the price so you wouldn't have to go to hell. So I wouldn't have to go. Jesus took my place and took my sin and took it to Calvary and there suffered and paid the price in full and shed his blood for my sin and your sin and made a way for you. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible teaches us that if we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. The Bible teaches that. I believe that. I don't believe anybody has to go to hell. I believe that Jesus has made a way for you to miss hell and go to heaven. And you're sitting in the house of God today. That's not by accident. God knew you'd be here today. God laid on my heart about this message. The fact is, Brother Larry asked me last night prior, said, "Are you settled for tomorrow?" I said, "I think I am." And I was praying that night, last night at the altar. God began to deal with my heart about this message, and I began to think, and God wouldn't let me get away from him. And I thought about it last night when I got home, thought about it this morning, and I could not get away from it. God has a purpose for preaching this message this morning. God has a purpose. Somebody here, God's speaking to your heart, God dealing with your life. And I pray God will help you to do what you need to do, because there'll be no other life. But thank God, God gave you grace in this life. Something else we learn here. Miracles don't create faith. They may aid faith, they don't create faith. Notice what he said, verse 27. Then he said, this rich man talking, "I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house. Do a miracle, let him raise from the dead and go back. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come in this place of torment." These people make jokes about hell, about we're going to shake hands, we're going to do this, we'll do that in hell, have a party. That's a lie. There'll be no joy in hell. There'll be no partying in hell. There'll be no friendship in hell. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. And here he said, "I got five brethren. I don't want them to come to this place. Go tell them not to come." Abraham said, now notice what he saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will hear, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." He said they have the Bible. They have the Word of God. If they won't hear what God says, they won't hear though somebody rose from the dead. If you won't hear what God says this morning, you won't hear it all. If you won't accept what God said, and Jesus himself gave us this message. He told us, he gave it. The scribes and Pharisees standing around, they're trying to create their own idea about hell. He's telling them about hell, the reality of hell, the reality of hell. He did not mince words. He said it like it was and told them how to miss it. Hear the Word of God. If you'll hear the Word of God, faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word. If you'll hear the Word of God, you can be saved today. What's the word say? Repent. What is repentance? Turning from sin to God. If you'll believe, trust, give your heart to, give yourself to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to come in your life. Ask him to take your life. Ask him to save you. If you'll do that, he'll save you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I could not possibly share with you all that I feel in my heart about this place called hell. But if I was going by your house and I saw your house on fire and I knew you was inside the house and I didn't stop and try to help you, I'd be a sorry piece of humanity. I know God teaches in his word that if you're not born again, you'll go to hell. That being true, I'm trying to help you. You don't have to go to hell. You say, "Preacher, what do I have to do?" Repent. Come to Christ. "Preacher, I don't want to step out from where I am and walk down that aisle, bow at that altar." I know God can save you anywhere, but listen, Jesus went up the cross, up to Calvary's hill to the cross for you. He died for you. He rose for you. Surely you'll come to him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, come to me. I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you life abundantly. If you'll only come. You say, preacher, I don't want to have to deal with this today. What if you die today? What if you walk out the doors today and today's your last day? What if before you ever get back to church, you have to leave out of this world? Where are you going? How's it going to be with you? Then for us that are saved, may God help us to think about those we know that's unsaved, that we may care enough to try to help them. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to think seriously. I'm not going to ask for any hands. I'm not going to ask for anything right now, but I just want you to think seriously. My life, am I saved or not saved? Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking, just myself and God. I want the pianist playing softly. You may need to come and pray for somebody, and you may need to come and get saved. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. But God's speaking to you. God's dealing with your heart. God's dealing with your life. Will you come? We're not trying to trick anybody or do anything. We're trying to help you. Just want you to come to Jesus. Jesus loves you. Say, preacher, I'd like to get saved today. I really would, but God's calling, God's dealing. Won't you let God help you? He's calling for you. As he calls, why don't you let him help you? Lord, speak to hearts. Deal with lives. Thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name. Look this way and let's sing. People are praying. But you need to come. You come. You need help. You just look up here at me. And we'll be glad to help you. God speaking to your heart. God dealing for your life. You ought to come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
I come.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
Close your eyes. Not going to prolong the invitation. But you hear and say, preacher, I did not respond to the coming to altar. But I know that I need prayer spiritually. Maybe saved, but not where you need to be and need help. Maybe unsaved and realize that. But you'd like to slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I saw that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, quickly slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. Anybody else, quickly. God speaking to your heart. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, you'd help those that raise their hands, those that care, those, God, that have a desire in their heart, let you help them. And I pray you take the word of God, speak to hearts, and deal with lives. Help us not to get away from this fact that hell is a real place. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit, make it real to hearts. Thank you, and help all of us that will have a greater desire in our heart to reach others before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Looking this way.